A reading from the first book of Kings. The Lord said to Elijah, "You shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat of Abimeleloah, as prophet to succeed you." Elijah set out and came upon Elisha, son of Shaphat, as he was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. He was following the 12th. Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak over him. Elijah left the oxen, ran after Elijah, and said, "Please let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, and I will follow you." Elijah answered back, "Go back. Have I done anything to you?" Elisha left him and, taking the yoke of oxen, slaughtered them. He used the plowing equipment for fuel to boil their flesh and gave it to his people to eat. Then Elisha left and followed Elijah as his attendant. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians. Brothers and sisters, for freedom Christ set us free. So stand firm and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. For you were called for freedom, brothers and sisters, but do not use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Rather, serve one another through love. For the whole law is fulfilled in one statement, namely, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." But if you go on biting and devouring one another, beware that you are not consumed by one another. I say then, live by the Spirit, and you will certainly not gratify the desire of the flesh. For the flesh has desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you may not do what you want. But if you are guided by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
When the days for Jesus being taken up were fulfilled, he resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On the way, they entered a Samaritan village to prepare for his reception there. But they would not welcome him because the destination of his journey was Jerusalem. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them?" Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they journeyed to another village. As they were proceeding on their journey, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus answered him, "Foxes have dens, and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head." And to another he said, "Follow me." But he answered him, "Lord, let me go first and bury my father." But he answered him, "Let the dead bury the dead. But you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to my family at home. To him Jesus said, no one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God. The Gospel of the Lord.
My first few days here at St. Andrew's, nearly 4 years ago now, were a bit of a whirlwind. Father Miller, our former pastor, who had been here for 13 years, was heading on vacation before entering into retirement, and my new pastor was not going to arrive for a couple of weeks, so I was going to bridge the gap in the meantime. And before he left, Father Miller reviewed the Mass schedule with me. He showed me where my office was. We went around and he told me how to lock and unlock the church. We celebrated a weekend of Masses together. And after a very brief orientation, he tossed me the keys and with a smile from ear to ear said, I'm off on vacation. Good luck. And in the days that followed, as I was stumbling around trying to figure out what was what and where to go, every day when I would arrive either at the office first thing in the morning or when I would come over to celebrate Mass, invariably someone would greet me with a look of mild bewilderment and say, "You're still here?" And they were kidding, I think, right? Because I was stuck. This was where the bishop sent me. This was where the Lord called me to be. And even if I had wanted to run and hide, I didn't know Roanoke well enough to know where to go. But something strange happened in the months and years that followed. I found that more and more, I was the one who, in my own prayer, was turning to Jesus and saying to him, you're still here. You know, when the Lord gave me the right words to say in a moment of ministry, whether in the confessional or at a hospital bedside, I would say with a sense of relieved gratitude, you're still here. When chaos would erupt in my classroom down at the school, and I felt a bit out of my depth in the academic world, I would say with a sense of nervous hope, you're still here. And in recent months, as the church has been rocked once more with scandal and with a sense of dismay, I found myself renewing my own commitment to the Lord and to his people, and saying to the one who called me, you're still here. And each and every time, the Lord's answer has been the same. Of course I'm still here. I always have been, and I always will be. Today's readings, each one of them reminds us that God is faithful. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And everything in the Christian mystery reveals how desperately he wants us to be with him. In the gospel, Jesus's bluntness in speaking to his would-be disciples can strike us as harsh. His demands can seem too high, can seem a bit inhuman. But the Lord knows what is best for us, and it's that he wants. Even when it calls us beyond what is comfortable, what is familiar, or whatever plans we may have made for ourselves. The urgency with which he calls us to follow him comes from a heart that loves us too much to allow us to settle for anything less than sanctity. And we cannot be the saints that the Lord calls us and made us to be unless we are with him and he is with us. To be with God is to be in love. And in his letter to the Galatians, St. Paul reveals to us one of the most evident fruits and signs of this relationship, namely love of neighbor. True Christian charity means to enter into the life of the Spirit, to go beyond a kind of superficial or earthly level of understanding and living. And through the ages, the saints have shown us time and time again how to love heroically, even to the point of death. And they were able to do so because they first were in love with Jesus. They were with him, and so were able to hear and respond to his call. This kind of love that all of us are called to live, each in our own way, requires us to be led by the Spirit with the same resoluteness that guided Elijah to anoint his successor and that Jesus was imbued with as he went forth to Jerusalem. And so today the Lord extends his ancient invitation to all of us, follow me. And this call is rarely comfortable or predictable. But if we're willing to say and to live a generous yes, the Lord promises to show us and share with us a love beyond all telling, a love that we find manifest before us and given for us today in the gift of the Holy Eucharist. And so today, as we receive our Eucharistic Lord into our hearts and lives again, we say to him, Jesus, I love you, I trust in you, and amid all of life's joys and challenges, twists and turns, I'm glad you're still here.